This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Scott Whatley and we appreciate you being with us. Today, a special edition of Your Money Matters brought to you by our good friend Kurt Rogers and Affordable Interest Mortgage. As I always say, your one-stop shop for all of your mortgage needs. Kurt's number, 720-895-0500. Kurt, good to see you, sir.
It is a special edition. You're back.
I am back.
Even with
I'm limping, but I'm back.
That four-foot scar that you have on your knee.
I know. I was like... For transparency, I had a knee replacement on the 15th, and I was like, dude, did you park your car in my knee? I mean, Lord, I didn't know it took that big of a scar to do
it's
all that.
It's a large scar.
It's sore, I will tell you. I'm about 15 days in here, and it is sore. But
it is nice to have you back. I know it is questionable, and I know you're getting close to rehab and working it out, but it is nice to see you again.
15 days after surgery, I've already been to rehab four times. Sheesh. Those people are not nice. At rehab.
No, they'll smile at you.
They want you to do stuff that hurts. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, mortgages don't hurt at Affordable Interest Mortgage. Kurt and his team, they'll make it easy for you.
That was a good transition.
720-895-0500. And Kurt, we've heard a ton about rates, and we normally just talk about typical mortgage rates, but let's kind of focus in on VA rates right now. What's happening there?
There for a while, when COVID first hit, VA rates and FHA rates kind of skyrocketed, and there didn't seem to be much sense to that. The banks thought that there was going to be more risk because they thought more people were going to be laid off that had those loans or that were going to get them, so they decided to raise the rates, raise the cost to do that. Well, VA has come down drastically. Right now, you can get a VA 100% loan in the low twos. That's either on a refinance of what's called an IRL or on a purchase. And that those rates are, I mean, that's unbelievably, they've never been that low ever in the past. And we anticipate they're going to stay that way for a while right now. So we're starting to see a lot more veterans. If you're a veteran and you've never used your VA, now is really a good time to get out there and do that because you can actually buy a home for $500 to $700 a month less than what you're paying in rent. Because of those kind of rates. It's just, because when you do a VA, there's no monthly mortgage insurance. Some loans above 80% will have mortgage insurance. FHA has mortgage insurance. VAs do not have mortgage insurance. And VA is one of the only ones that will do 100%. So you don't have to bring any money to the closing table. Mm-hmm. They do have what's called an upfront funding fee, but that can be waived if you've got any form of a disability from the military. And that's a one-time fee. So... It's pretty strong with what they're doing with VA rates right now.
All right. Give Kurt a call if you've got any questions. And again, not just on VA loans, but if you've got other questions on loans, refinancing, first-time home buyer, whatever, give Kurt a call, 720-895-0500. Well, it is good to welcome a returning guest for several years
She's
now.
One of our favorites.
Absolutely. Kelly O'Connor, Senior
Kelly.
Care Authority.
Hello, gentlemen. It's so nice to see you both.
It is nice to see
you. I like
you
the glasses.
Well.
I like the new glasses. They're really pretty sexy. They're pretty cool.
The bigger to see you with, my dear. They're huge.
No, they look great for sure. I know you've been on since the first year, but boy, before all the COVID stuff, I think was the last time that I had been on with you. And the landscape of all of our lives have changed, but certainly you look at this senior care and all the different things, and boy, it's just been sad since all this has started with people, you know, not being able to go in and see loved ones. I mean, you know, not being able to go to hospitals and people dying and not being able to have anyone with them. But so what's kind of happening right now since we're in this COVID thing, what's happening in the state here as far as, you know, companies that you're working with for people getting in to see people? Is that still on a lockdown?
So just last week, there was a state order that came down that slowly but surely they're going to be doing outside visits. So the resident living in a senior living community will be able to come outside. They will be able to social distance, distance and mask. And be able to visit with their loved ones. My whole thing is after over 100 days of not being able to see a loved one, the first thing you want to do is run up and give them a hug and kiss them and not let go. And so that's really going to be the most difficult piece, is to see if families are able to maintain just the natural impulse to hug and love your loved ones. And so that's going to be really telling to see how well, as a society, you know, as a community, that people are able to do that. We did have one family that did social distancing for a minute, but then they grabbed each other and hugged each other. And then when the resident went back into the apartment, had to quarantine for 14 days. So again,
a hug's worth 14 days quarantine.
Yeah, if you haven't seen your family, I'm hugging.
Kidding. I'm there anyway.
Ain't a problem.
Yes, and these are the kind of decisions, really moral decisions, that families are having to make together.
Before we go too far, I want you to remind the people when you started your company, why you started it, and what you do, because they might not have heard from you for a while, and with all the senior care facilities out there, they need to understand where your passion is.
Well, my passion is absolutely helping families, and I'm an elder care consultant. My company is Senior Care Authority, Denver Metro, and we consult with families that are trying to stay at home safely, and we also have a program where we support families in making really great decisions on moving to senior living. There are over 400 communities here in Denver, so how do you sort through? Mm. You know, one assisted living is not the same as the assisted living across the street. So how do you make those decisions? And so we really help guide, coach, educate families through that process, and I love it. And I got into this business because I went through most of my elder care journey in my 20s. With my mom, I had two grandmothers who lived with us at the time, and my mom was the first one to get sick. And so I was in my 20s and needed to really jump in and support the family. So I was able to help and care for my mom for 4.5 years. She passed away, and then her mom lived another year and a half. And I was in charge of a very small trust that my mom left for my grandmother's care. So here I am. All my other friends in their 20s are out running around and having a great time in life. And, you know, I have all of these responsibilities. And then later, my dad had Parkinson's disease, passed away, and his mom passed away. And so I was 45 years old, and I'm the oldest member of my family. And I thought, wow, that was a lot. And just as with things in life, you never know when something is presented to you. Is this a bad time in life that you're just going to chalk off as, boy, that was tough, and move on with your life? And I really saw an opportunity with the things that I'd learned. I never wanted to learn them. But I just saw how the healthcare system worked, how the senior living system worked, and I thought, someone can go in and help families do this better. I made lots of mistakes along the way. Right. And so, you know, my families make mistakes too. We all do. Sure. We're human. But to have a guide who's been through this hundreds of times now, I've worked with so many families, to be able to walk them through the process and help them make really good decisions, it's a bond also. I have friends for life, just because we get through the hardship together.
Well, you're dealing with somebody, in most cases, you know, a loved one, a parent, a brother or sister. And, you know, you got to develop a bond if you're going to be helping them take care of them. Mm-hmm. And you know, the last time you were on the show, like Scott was mentioning, this was prior to COVID. And there were so many different things that you were doing at that time, helping people decide on which one, you know, there's a 6-month, 1-year wait, what, you know, the different types that they were. I'm assuming a lot of that has kind of changed with the conversations you have with people now that might be looking.
It's changed a lot. When COVID first was coming down and we knew that the stay-at-home order was coming in, I had families hustling. There were families moving everyone into senior living, and there were only a few, actually, that moved them out of senior living and said, if we're going to be shut down, they're going to be living with me. Very few families did that because, again, they were having to work from home and so forth.
It's a burden.
It is. It's a lot. It really is. And so once we got everyone sorted through, you know, and got everyone stable, you know, can you imagine? I have over 500 clients, and I mean, it was a lot. And making sure that everyone was safe and everyone was in position and resourced. I mean, it was really a lot. And then over this time, what I'm finding that families now are realizing how much care their parents actually need. And they didn't realize that before. Mm-hmm. And so now we're having to look to see where they go. There is a chance that there will be another stay-at-home order yep. in the fall. There's been lots of talk about that. And so they're having to really make some big decisions to say, how are we going to reorient our life to care for our loved one in their home or our home? Or is senior living the right place, at least where there's someone to check on them? Our activities departments did amazing jobs. They were so creative at how to keep people connected. But like you said, everyone's a little stir crazy right now. Everyone's ready to be out.
I think the first wave that we went through, because I don't believe anybody was prepared. I don't know that the senior care facilities were prepared for what was coming. And I don't think the government was at all. So when it hit, I think this next time, if it does come back in the fall, that transition, the amount of people that have died in senior cares versus, that's going to change a whole lot because of some more precautionary methods. It's not just the mask and the distancing. It's a lot more of keeping the place clean. So I'm sure the facilities have changed some of their methods.
Oh, they've changed so many things. I have one of my friends, she's a director of sales and marketing at a really big community, and she has 136 doorknobs 3 times a day that she has to disinfect. And that is her act of service and love for all of her residents and her coworkers, but that is her job. So in the middle of all of her sales and marketing work, she has taken on that responsibility, and she does it with such great love and such great pride. And it's 136, because I had said 135, and she was like, no, it's 136.
She counseled.
She's got it down. And I think what you're really going to see is technology has come into play for so many of us. And for our elders who resisted technology, I think during some of those social visits, you're going to see a lot more training classes, you know, with the young people coming in to teach their grandparents and great-grandparents.
Zoom. How Zoom works.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I mean, these are really – now this is fundamental to our lifestyle.
Yeah.
And so our elders are coming up to speed, which is really great to see.
Sure. You mentioned before our break here, you mentioned that our loved ones really don't realize how much care the parent or, you know, their loved one needs. And so sometimes I'm sure, you know, because we've all seen people that for a year they don't change. But we've also seen people that when they first go in, they just kind of need that place. You know, they're fine. They can get dressed. They can do everything. And then in 60 days, they go really downhill. How does that work if they need to get into it? And if that facility doesn't offer the care that they need, how hard is it to find another facility for them to get into that might be able to handle them, especially if they got to get on meds or, you know, need to get 24-hour care?
Yes. And so I never like to push my services. Like, I never want to be a salesperson.
Right.
But never before has it been more important to have someone like me mm-hmm. involved in this decision making.
Oh, yeah.
Because it has been very, very difficult. And so there, you know, we had one gal who lives in independent living. This is the family I'm currently working with. And on the cognitive scale, there's an exam called the SLUMS test, S-L-U-M-S. And the highest score is a 30. Most of us, well, maybe not Kurt, but but most of us would get, you know, a 28, 29, 30.
Sure.
You know, we're going to be up there really high. This poor gal in independent living is now at an 11. And it's really from that isolation. And so what we don't know is obviously she needs to move to assisted living. Because she's farther down on the cognitive scale. What we don't know is in that supportive environment of assisted living, is she going to bounce back to an independent level, or is this her new baseline? And so those are the kind of discussions that we're having with families to see, you know, if we do go on another 3-month shutdown, if you will, what is going to happen? And do we want them to move to assisted living now? Do we want them to move to memory care now? Or are we going to wait that out? And we didn't have this COVID obstacle in the middle of these decision makings. It is.
It's just following us.
It is. And we have to talk about that.
Yeah.
And I tell you, you are not going to navigate this whole thing without a plan. And if you do, it's going to be very expensive because you're going to get in wrong places. You know, you're not going to find the right things going on. So it is never kind of like with, I always say this with Kurt, even if you're thinking about next year getting a house, I say, call him now. Get that relationship going so you can figure out needs. Things may change over the time period when you're ready, but at least you've got that relationship going and you can yep. educate us of what we need to know, because I'm telling you, we don't know what we need to know in this, right?
Right.
You don't know that you don't know.
Exactly.
And right now that can become very costly for you.
No doubt. You're listening to a special edition of Your Money Matters right here on Haystack Up Radio. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back more with Kelly O'Connor right after this. Got a road trip planned for getting ready for your next outdoor adventure? Hi, this is Scott Watley for my friends at D&D Tire Service. At D&D Tire Service in Parker and Aurora, they understand automotive issues can be a headache, and they never come at a convenient time. D&D Tire Service is family-owned and operated and is truly your one-stop shop for all of your automotive needs. All tires are reduced, and for a limited time, there are some great rebates saving you up to $200. From belts to tires, wiper blades, oil changes, D&D Tire Service has you covered. For the location nearest to you, call 303-699-7337. That's 303-699-7337. D&D Tire Service is the official auto repair shop of Sportsman of Colorado Radio. Let D&D Tire Service keep you and your family safe on the roads. DndTireservice.com.
Rates are like a roller coaster lately. Are you concerned about the future and how to protect your home? Do you want to become mortgage safe? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With home values still at their highest level ever and rates at historic lows, now may be the best time to be prepared if the economy changes. Last time, many of our friends lost their home when it was unnecessary. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have the ability to tap their equity should the economy change, all without having to borrow the money now. We can show you how to access your equity in these uncertain times to give you peace of mind and allow you to focus on what's important, your family. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. We are locally owned and operated since 2001. Our reputation of putting you first with straight answers and listening are unmatched in Colorado. Let us help you protect your home. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where it's all about you.
Hi, this is Scott Watley for Stack Optical. Stack Optical has been providing the most comprehensive quality ocular care for their Denver patients for over 50 years. And as a family-owned business, trust me when I say they have seen hard times before. And no doubt the days we are living in are very difficult for us all. But owner Alan Stack and his wife Marilyn want you to know they are here for you. If you need an eye exam, new glasses, or even repair to your glasses, Stack Optical is ready to help. Call to schedule your private appointment today and rest assured every step has been taken to ensure your safety and health at Stack Optical. I've trusted my eye care to them for many years, and you can too. So if it's time for your eye exam or that new pair of glasses, call them today, 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578, or check them out at StackOptical.com. At Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio and our special edition of Your Money Matters. Kurt Rogers in studio with us, Affordable Interest Mortgage, and also Kelly O'Connor, Senior Care Authority. Check out our website, seniorcareauthority.com/Denver Metro. And her number, 720-500-2550.
Okay, just before the break, Scott, I'd ask you a couple questions. I want to kind of go a little deeper. You know, when we've talked on the show for the last year or 2 years, there was a certain way and certain things you did, and there were certain types of facilities. Now, through this, I'm sure if somebody comes to you now, their questions that they used to have are going to be different than what they're having now. Their concerns are different. Can you kind of give us an idea of what some of those are, what people's biggest concerns are if they're going to be looking at a facility?
So what people ask me first off is, did they have COVID? There are some places that have been COVID-free. So not every place has been affected. And many have. And so the answer is either yes or no. Now, you do have to dive a little bit deeper into that.
Right.
What happened? What was their response? How widespread was it? Because you get on the state list if you have one case. If there's one case, either an employee or a resident – that has tested positive. Luckily, in the state, they separated the people who passed away, whether they passed away from COVID or that with COVID.
Oh, big difference.
That it's a big difference.
A huge difference.
Yes.
So looking at positive cases, looking at the number of deaths, and all of this is on the state health department website, but I make sure that my clients have that information. So yes, we're looking at how beautiful the place is. Yes, we're looking at historically how the care has been. But we're really looking at what have they done creatively to support families and support their residents during this time period, and what was the loss of life or the number of instances. And so we have those open conversations. And that's the thing with someone like me. I'm not afraid to, you know, shake a few trees and ask the tough questions, because I want my clients to be informed, mm-hmm. and I want them to know, and I want the community to have a chance to say, hey, it was horrible. Here's what we did. Here's what we learned. This is what we do now. And this is what our plans are for the future. So the time that we spent interviewing the different companies
got a little bit longer.
Luckily, we're doing visits on Zoom. And so all the tours, the initial tours, we used to go and visit and just do preview of the communities. Now we do all of those on Zoom.
Which is very efficient of everyone's time. And if you've got people out of state, you know, there's brothers and sisters here, but nobody, usually there's one that lives here, right? The rest of them are out of state. So this way, everybody can be involved with that decision.
It has helped with efficiency so much. And for families that used to have to take time off work, to drive to a different place, to go and do the interview and the tour with the community, and then drive back to work or drive back home, we've just, you know, gifted them with, you know, several hours of their life back, which is wonderful.
Now, through this, and it kind of came upon, in my opinion, the senior care facilities rather quickly. Nobody was expecting this. And when it first hit, the biggest place we saw, and I think it was in Seattle, where they got hit mm-hmm. first, before anybody got any idea how dangerous it was to senior care facilities. So there could be some very good senior care facilities that were doing everything correct, and it caught them by surprise. But I'm sure that they've made some changes and some alterations to kind of put that in front of them now, especially if it might come back in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Any idea how you let somebody who's thinking about it understand that just because their numbers may be high, that it really wasn't their fault? It was just that the thing hit so fast.
It did. And what we found is the most loss of life did happen early on in the process.
Right.
And it was before the communities, you know, we were learning. I was on lots of conference calls with people from all over the country. So I was on a lot of the New York conference calls as things were coming down. And so we were learning all together at the same time. And so so a lot of the loss of life was, it could have just been one care worker. So one person who inadvertently
had no clue.
And most people, I would say 90% or above, love their residents. So there would be no reason why someone would come to work purposely sick to purposely do this.
Right.
It was someone who was either asymptomatic or presymptomatic that came in, and during the course of the interactions on their shift, met with several different residents to support them, talking to their coworkers and so forth. Like, we just didn't know. And so what we found is that there was some initial screening that we were doing, and that wasn't sufficient. So then we started deeper screening, and now there were some communities that I really, I think this is important to know. There were some that the executive director lived on site. Came and moved into the community. There were also staff apartments that were set up at another community where they had 2 week shifts. And so they were working 12 hours on, 12 hours off, but they were living on site at the property to reduce the exposure.
Right.
And I admire that. I really do. And there was a lot of communities that took their, because the problem is once there was an outbreak, if you will, and an outbreak is one or more people.
Sure.
So once there was an outbreak, then everyone had to get tested. And while they were waiting on those tests to come back, if anyone tested positive, they were off. So we had this employment gap that was very, very severe, where if you have half the staff that tests positive, they can't come in. So then what do you do? Who takes care of the residents? So the HR departments and the recruiting divisions really had to beef up their efforts. And then you saw a lot of communities that took their marketing budgets and they turned them into hero pay, not hazard pay, but hero pay. Yeah. Yes, so that people would get bonuses. Because again, we didn't know at the beginning, with a care worker coming to work and supporting their residents and then going home, what the exposure would be for their family. And if they live in a multi-generational household like I grew up in, what were the exposures to other to other relatives? And so, you know, we had, you have derobing stations, you know, at the different communities, at the different facilities, so they could take off their clothes, put on, you know, their clothes to go home. Yes. And so lots of things changed. I mean, it was wild. And our communities did, I think, a great job. You know, the families who lost their loved ones wouldn't say that. But it, from the viewpoint that I have of looking at all the communities, we really did a great job as a senior living industry.
Nobody wanted, you know, nobody's fond of when that many seniors die, because if you look at the numbers of the people with the cases and how many of them are 70 and up versus how many are 20 and up, it slanted very much to the older. But we didn't know at that time what was going on, that it would affect them that fast. And by the time we figured it out, it had already spread.
Yes.
So I'm curious as to how are the families addressing it now as they're going forward and trying to answer those questions, be reassured. What do you say to them? How do you work with them?
Well, just because of the nature of the virus, I don't think there's any reassurance that we can provide anyone.
Yeah.
And
I think that's been the whole thing with all this. I think the frustration levels of where they are today, because you don't know where to go or who to listen to really get the truth, because everyone you see on TV has an agenda. And so you don't know. And, you know, we can all take bad news while we know there's going to be the end of it and we're going to get back to normal. But everybody always said, what's the new normal now for anything? And we don't know.
I was thinking the other day, are we going to teach children to shake hands with their elders? Mm-hmm. Like, that is one of the common courtesies things that we have always taught children, that you reach out and shake your hand with an elder when you're meeting someone for the first time. Is that going to stop? Like, we really don't. We really don't know. So from a reassurance standpoint of people moving to senior living, every family has different beliefs and every family has different values. I have friends that don't want to wear a mask and they have their reasons for doing that. I have other friends that are wearing masks and shields and gloves.
Right.
So again, everyone has their different values. And that's what my job is as a consultant, for families to lean on me to ask questions, for me to provide them with information, and then to help them align their decisions with their own values.
That was going to be my next question. Your job has got a lot tougher, because the use of you now in a world, you can't trust other people, because like Scott says, you know, the media is going to have this kind of, they want to present it this way. But for somebody like you, your value has gone up, because you're representing the facility that fits that person, not the facility that pays you the most.
Right, exactly. And that is the thing with the senior living placement program, is the community that a family selects, they'll cover my fees. So it ends up being no cost to the family themselves. So they can benefit from that program. And like I said, it's not about Googling, you know, senior living near me and, you know, finding the top two and going to visit
anymore. I'm telling you, that's what we do when something happens.
Yeah, you go to the top three in Google, and, oh, well, I'll call these three people, I'll be fine.
Yeah, they're in my neighborhood.
It doesn't work that way.
It doesn't. And so that's what we're really doing, not only looking at the social needs of a resident, their healthcare needs, their desires, what geographic region they want to be in, what their budget is. We look at all of that, but now families are factoring in COVID. One thing that's become really important is a ground floor apartment for those window visits. And if it's if it's on the second or third floor, or you know, there's an 18-story senior living high rise in Cherry Creek, it's you can't even yell that high to be able to reach. So now these first floor apartments are really ideal because you can social distance with an open window and have a visit. And so we had a lot of construction companies, you know, they were essential workers, they stayed busy, but there were some construction companies that would actually come over and did forklifts.
Give you a lift.
Not forklifts, but you know, the lifts so that you could see someone at the second or third floor and actually get to visit with them.
Yeah. Wow. And I can't imagine how tough that is to have a parent and you can't go visit them. And how not so much on me, for example, but on my parent, if that was the case, that they can't see me, that I can't interact with them.
And for those with cognitive concerns,
I start to say, and if they don't understand why you're not coming and you used to, that's what that was.
Yeah, we can talk about that more when we come back.
All right. We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. Jack Corrigan. There's no better time than now to visit my friends at Len Lyle Chevrolet. They're open, following all proper safety precautions, and ready to offer terrific deals. Suburbans for over $10,000 less, better than $7,000 off a brand new Equinox. And Len Lyle Chevy has 0% financing on almost every model. Plus, they need trade-ins badly, so they're willing to pay over book value. Len Lyle Chevrolet, it's time for you to go east and pay the least. And did I mention they need your trade-in?
Knowledge in Reverse is brought to you by Steve Hurley with Affordable Interest Mortgage.
Procrastination and hesitation yield the same result. No meaningful decision. Do you have questions regarding a reverse mortgage? Learn how it may work for you. Our main job is educating you on the facts. This type of mortgage is not for everyone, but it may be just right for you. Call Steve at 303-885-0254, home of Knowledge in Reverse. That's 303-885-2054. Learn the truth. NMLS 243-200, regulated by DORA. Equal opportunity lender.
David R. Cishon, certified estate planner and registered financial consultant, specializes in working with people who are planning for retirement and retired clients who want to preserve and grow their assets.
Education is the greatest equalizer is my theme. It's always been. More people know, the better their decisions are, the more comfortable they become. So when people come in, we take, some people say, an excessive amount of time learning about the client themselves, who they are. What are their feelings? I don't care how much assets they have. If their assets are important to them, that's critical to me.
Call now for your free consultation with David Cishon of Householder Group. 720-482-1917. That's 720-482-1917. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Householder Group Estate and Retirement Specialist, LLC, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Got a question for the station? Email info@CrawfordBroadcasting.com. Now back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio and our special edition of Your Money Matters. Kurt Rogers in the house with Affordable Interest Mortgage. Once again, if you've got any mortgage needs, 720-895-0500. And we are very glad to have Kelly O'Connor with us, Senior Care Authority. Her number, 720-500-2550. And if you've been listening even for a few minutes, please do yourself a favor and do this. If you know you're going to be in a situation, you know what, the next 6 months, next year, whatever, give Kelly a call, 720-500-2550, and establish that relationship now, and I promise you it will save it. Because, you know, Kelly, when these things happen, it's hard enough on a family when someone maybe has to move into a home. So there's enough stuff going on, it's hard. You don't want to add to all those difficulties by not knowing what to do and where to go and what all is required, right?
Yeah, and like you said, I love to meet people ahead of time. Like, let's just get to know each other. I want to know about your parent. I want to know about you. I want to know about your siblings, anyone that's involved in the care, in the care support system, because the more we know each other ahead of time when a crisis happens, we don't have to build those relationships.
Well, you know who's important.
Exactly. And we've already talked about it. So during that time, I can remind families, say, remember your mom said this, and it may have been something very little and subtle to them at the time, but it's really significant when you start to think about senior living and what someone wants for their new lifestyle.
This is a big decision. Because A, it's a loved one. You're basically buying them a new home. You're putting them in where they're going to stay. It's not something you make that decision in 30 days. So pick up the phone and call on you and just get to know you and walk through it. You don't have a problem. Your time is free.
Yeah, my first time is free.
My first time is free. And then you go from there.
Yeah, for anyone that references you, Kurt or Scott.
First time is free.
Absolutely.
Now, before the break, we talked about, Kurt, you know, not seeing your loved ones, especially if they don't really know what's going on a little bit or they've
right.
slipped a little bit. What's going to be the future of that, you know? I mean, over these next 6 months to a year. I mean, that's really going to put a lot of anxiety on people.
And I would think that's where kind of the technology comes into play. If they don't know what's going on, then all of a sudden they're looking at Zoom. They're being able to do at least some FaceTime. Because, you know, I got to be honest, when they locked us down for 60 to 75 days, gave us an all time out, Zoom and I became real good friends with my family in Nevada.
Yes.
So we understand how that works. So I think that that's important.
And with anyone with dementia, those of us that are in the senior living world would say your loved one needs to move sooner mm-hmm. than later. And the reason why is because we all have our normal routines. And when you've been in your same routine for 30 or 40 years in your same home and you were uprooted, you know, think about just going to a hotel. Like you wake up in the middle of the night. It's like, where's the bathroom? Right?
Right, yeah.
So if you can imagine if you have dementia or any kind of cognitive challenges, being able to wake up and be in a new environment, it takes a while to orient. The sooner in their journey, their dementia journey, that we can help them orient to a new environment, mm-hmm. the better. The other thing that I think is beneficial is that the care team knows them more like themselves
right.
versus in the journey. You know, you don't get to know people as well because they can't share, you know, their life as much. And so it's really important to move people earlier in the journey and to get them used to technology early, because then it will be a normal part of their life rather than something new that they have to learn.
Sure. What do you see for the future of this? Because I was just sitting here thinking, could people file lawsuits against some of these homes? So they're going like, hey, man, it's not worth it to us to keep taking people in right now while this is going on. And this could go on for, you know, 6 months or so or whatever.
Well, yeah, I would think
and,
at least through the rest of the
you
year.
Know, you just wonder what
it's coming back.
Yeah, what it's going to look like in that whole screening process of getting someone in now.
Yes, and that is going to be part of any kind of application process that a family goes through, is that to know the nature of COVID. And they will be signing releases knowing that, you know, COVID is communicable through, you know, through touch, through social distance, living in a building. I'm sure the apartment industry is doing the same thing and
sure.
HOAs
that
for
makes sense.
Condo buildings. And so it is, and it's probably going to be the new normal for our lifetime.
Well, grocery stores go through the same problem. That's
yes.
why they got the arrows. I mean, they got to try to do something to save it, but there's so many people to go in and out.
Yes. And so it, you know, it's something now that we just need to think, if it's not COVID, is it going to be something else in the future? Like this will be a demarcation really in how senior living is delivered. And so for the future, I think you're going to see people moving to smaller communities rather than some of the larger. I don't know that for a fact. That's just sort of what I think. I also think that high rises are going to be a thing of the past. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they'll be building any larger places, taller places, because of the exposure inside an elevator. Because most places, you know, you can't take, if you have 200 residents and three elevator banks and
doesn't
everyone's
work.
Going to lunch at noon, how do you space people out
yeah.
So that they're safe in an elevator? So those are the kind of things. And like I said, these first floor apartments are going to be really key. I would expect the real estate price is going to go a little bit higher.
What do you wish every family knew about senior care? You know, we all have, what do you think we should know? Like, what should we know about senior care that we don't?
I think that there are really good people in the senior care business, really good people. Yes, it's a business. So yes, there is a money factor. but there are really good people. And senior living isn't known as the highest paying industry. And so for someone to choose between different wages in different industries and they choose senior living, they're obviously choosing that for a reason and a purpose. And that's what I wish people knew, is that that when you enter an agreement with a senior living community, you're really in partnership to work together. And it's really important to find an organization that's value aligned with you. And the other thing that I wish people knew is how difficult navigating that senior care journey is for the powers of attorney. And I really wish that powers of attorney would get more education. Like, if you know that you or your parent or your spouse's power of attorney, or you know that you're your sibling's power of attorney, it's time to get educated now. Like, what would that mean? I spend so much time in the middle of a crisis educating people. I was with a family over the weekend on Friday night, and it's a crisis, and they do not know who is the power of attorney, who has legal authority to make the healthcare decisions and to make the financial decisions for their mom. And their mom is in her very advanced 90s. So at no point have they had this discussion. And there's multiple documents over time, because every time she's gone to the hospital, she signs, here's my power of attorney. So now we're going to have to go back to an elder law attorney with all of these different documents over the last, you know, 20 years, let's say from 78 to 98. And for those 20 years to go back and look to see, do any of the new documents that a hospital had them sign or the rehab had her sign
supersede some other things?
Exactly. So these are the kind of things that every year, every 6 months, you absolutely should be reviewing. And when our elders are older, say in their 90s, their children are in their 70s. So I have a situation right now where
neither one knows what's going on.
Exactly. Where there's two children in their mid-70s, and each of them have health concerns. And so to take on the responsibility
of having the power of attorney.
Having the power of attorney and making those critical decisions. It's like, I'm sorry you have health concerns, but your mom needs attention. And so that's the real important thing of looking to see, is it time where grandchildren would step in? Because grandchildren are in their 40s and 50s. Maybe the grandchildren should be power of attorney at that time. And these are the kind of things that I really wish people would know. And it's, you know, right. I could scream this one from the rooftop.
No, it's we do a show, Blake Harris, Mile High Estate Planning.
That's right.
On, and he's gone through that, just, you know, having all these documents. And so many people have a will or something, and they think everything's just, you know, all great. But there's so much to a proper estate plan. And like you said, very, very, very important. So what do you financially? A lot of times there's things where, hey, somebody's got a lot of money, you know, and you can't do something 2 weeks before you move in. So there's also a lot of, the reason why I say get with you now, because there are some financial things, too, that maybe need to be tended to a little bit before they move in.
Yes. Today I got a call from a gentleman in his early 70s. It was actually from his son, and he was recently diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Well, it's time to jump in and make some decisions now. And he's a healthy guy. It's just his brain is, you know, what's failing him. And so physically, he could live for a good 20 years. So what does this look like? And so those are the kind of conversations. Anytime someone receives a diagnosis, I mean, my own father had Parkinson's, and I didn't really know what it meant. I read about it, and I said, oh, he's going to shake like Muhammad Ali and, you know, Michael J. Fox. You know, I mean, I didn't really have a grasp on what that would be. But I wish I would have been more educated ahead of time about what it could have looked like. I may have made some more decisions, different decisions for him and maybe for my own life, based on what I knew. And I think that's the most important thing. It's anytime there's a diagnosis or anytime you're noticing something, anytime there's a change, you don't have to wait for a crisis. Let's get educated. Let's get to know each other ahead of time.
Sure. Very few things go well without proper planning. Kelly O'Connor's with us, Senior Care Authority / Denver Metro is her website, and her number is 720-500-2550. We got to take our last break. We'll be back with more right after this. Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center would like to announce their new Canine Academy is open. Hi, this is Scott Watley for my friends at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. The Canine Academy is offering all new classes and several exciting additions, including the new sport classes, scent work, and tray ball that dogs love. Their pet behavior specialist has over 20 years of experience working with animals large and small, including dogs and cats and zoo animals and exotics. He's available Tuesday through Saturday to help you with all of your pet training needs. Visit LoneTreeVet.com and check out the Canine Academy page for the summer class schedule, or just give them a call at 303-708-8050 and get your pet started in the training that's best for you and your pet.
Take it from KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. You should always call the police, no matter how small your accident may seem. Here's why.
The experience that I've had is once you say, listen, I want to have the police called, and if a person gets nervous about that, you know that you're immediately dealing with a different situation. If the person is like, well, that's fine, I'll wait around as well and we can get it documented, no problem, then you know you're also dealing with a credible person too. And so it's a really good litmus test to see how that person reacts.
Always call the police right away. Then call KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh, 303-806-8886. Injuries happen all the time, quarantine or no quarantine. So put this number in your phone now, 303-806-8886. 303-806-8886. Trial tested, trial ready. Flesh and Beck Law, they get results.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loan to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back. We've got a few more minutes here with Kelly O'Connor from Senior Care Authority, and once again, her website, seniorcareauthority/Denver Metro. Her number, and it's a free consultation, 720-500-2550. Kurt Rogers also with us from Affordable Interest Mortgage.
Okay, one of the questions I want to ask you, through all of this that changed, because we, like I said, we've known you for a while. We've watched you talk. You have a little bit more giddy up in your step. You're a little bit more excited about things. And I'm curious what has inspired you as we've gone from where we were at the beginning of March till now.
The thing that's inspired me most is how dedicated all of our care partners and care workers in senior living have been. There are many people that if they had to walk into a COVID-rich environment, that they would not go to work. Those of us that don't work in the healthcare, directly in a healthcare facility, have the luxury mm-hmm. of being able to stay at home. But the essential workers that had to go and had to show up in these healthcare environments, that kind of dedication.
Yeah, that's a special calling right there.
I was going to say, to get up every day and decide to go in, knowing that the seniors, who are much more susceptible for it, and when you have as many senior care facilities having as many people that contact, and you go right into that lion's den day in and day out.
Yes. And again, some people had to for money's sake.
Right.
We have to eat. Yeah, we have to eat. But the fact that they chose to do that at day after day after day, and to be able to put aside their own fear for their own health and safety in order to care for seniors, totally inspiring. The other thing is creativity. we had, you know, all of us had to get really creative at home when we're staring at each other for, you know, 24 hours a day.
Puzzles.
Puzzles, lots of walks. You know, we had to get really creative. And to see the activities directors in the communities, they would do happy hours, which I loved. They would have a rolling cart loaded with cocktails, and they would go down the hallways, and they were dressed in tuxedos, and they would serve. And so they got to have happy hour. Like, we had to find a way to make life normal.
Yeah. Because if it drives us crazy sitting at home, you can imagine what it's like. You know, being in a facility, not getting to see loved ones, feeling just, you know, like you're almost in a jail cell.
Yes.
Can't see anybody.
Yeah.
But again, it was a jail cell at home, too.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't much difference except for that we could get outside.
Right.
And you know, luckily it happened during the summertime when the weather was nice, right?
Where do you see the senior care facilities headed? With what's happened, where are they talking about different changes? Where do you see them going?
So they'll.
I know you talked about smaller.
Yes. Yeah. I think the new builds will be smaller. I think some of the communities will maybe create different dining rooms and different dining instead of everything being consolidated
right.
in one place. So I think you'll see
control it better.
Yes, the existing buildings, I think you'll see them reconfigured a bit. There are some places that will not be renting a certain wing of the building, that will be a COVID wing. And so those will be furnished apartments. So if you do test positive or have symptoms, you will be going over to the COVID wing, and you'll stay there until you're symptom-free and then be able to move back to your apartment. So
which is going to affect availability, too, because if you've got 20 rooms down that wing and they shut off those 20, that's 20 rooms that aren't going to be available anymore.
Yeah. They're not bringing you in any money.
That's why, man, why would you ever want to do anything like this without you, you know, because
there's too many questions.
Yeah.
Too many concerns that you just can't get the answers to.
Yep. And each different provider has a different philosophy. And there were some places that were allowing move-ins during this entire time. And so so there were some that for medical emergencies, they were moving people in. There were some places that had no move-ins. For 3 solid months. And so, again, different places have different philosophies. And again, it's about connecting your family with the values of a community to make sure that those are aligned. Because all in all, that's what's going to make a difference.
Yeah, you need to know the answer to these questions before it's going to happen in 30 days.
Sure.
Yeah.
So what do they do in a home? Well, let's say you got 200 residents, somebody tests positive. Are they just quarantining that one person and then everybody else is still getting to do the activities and eat together and all that? Or, I mean, if they get several people, you would think, man, at some point they have to tell everybody to stay in the room for 14 days.
So what they're doing, and this is what we had to do, was we had to chart where one of the care, let's say it's a care worker who's positive, then we had to go and find out where they were during that shift, who had potential exposure, who had a probable exposure, and who had direct exposure. And so the communities were having to evaluate that. They changed the way that they're staffing communities, most places, because they used to, you know, you would have people that worked on the third floor one day, and the first floor the next day, and the second floor the next day. That completely stopped. And so you would be isolated to a certain floor so that they could track
contain it.
Yes. And so if something happened, that they would be able to figure out quicker who had exposure and at what level. So lots of things had to change. But like I said, as information, it was changing at the very beginning. It literally was changing every maybe 2 hours.
Right.
To say 1 hour would be dramatic, but every 2 hours we were having to evaluate with new information coming in. How do you adapt? How do you make changes? And like I said, we did a great job.
Right.
We really did.
Now, normally, do residents that need to see their doctor, are they transported to that doctor's office? Or are there some doctors that come to some of the homes?
So we have several different physician groups that are rounding physicians that are house call doctors, just like we used to have.
Right.
And so they'll come to your private home in your neighborhood, or they will come to the care community. And so a lot of those visits did change to televisits. And so now you had a health and wellness director that was actually facilitating the communication with the provider through some sort of Zoom,
right.
or technological interaction. Because those, even the rounding house call doctors, they were going from one place to the next place. And again, with the virus being so elusive, where we don't know how it's being transmitted, when it's been transmitted, and
sure.
the incubation period,
right.
we've really had to pivot and really had to look and balance out the public health versus the individual health.
See, that's one of the reasons I think your value has gone up a lot, because there's so many things that you know that if I was to go out and look, I wouldn't even think of those questions. You're going to bring them up, which is going to make me think more, which you have the answers for. So, and you still have a passion for this.
I do, because I care about families. And like I said, I was a care provider, for my family. And so I wish I would have had a me along the way. I wish I would have, someone to say, how am I doing? Am I doing okay? Or what do I need to do now? Or what do I not know?
Yeah.
And most of us haven't walked the journey before. And, it's interesting. People will say, well, I saw these bad Google reviews. And I said, most likely those Google reviews aren't even relevant to what we're talking
sure.
about today.
Right.
Let's talk about them today. And at some of the places I have, 6 or 8 clients. So not only do I have a relationship with that community, but I also have insider information on
right.
actually how they're doing.
Oh, it all works.
And that's
yes.
what I mean. Why mess with all that?
That's right.
Just pick up the phone. Call 720-500-2550. 720-500-2550, Senior Care Authority /Denver Metro. Kelly, always a pleasure to have you in.
Good to see you.
Thanks
both.
For coming.
Right.
Kurt, thank you for setting this up, sir. Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Hope you have a great rest of your day, and leave it right here on KLZ 560.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers.